If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Nation Uncensored.
Right, everybody, we should be live. Hopefully you can hear us.
We can all
hear each other here, but yeah, do let us know in TV land if we are not coming through loud and clear.
Yep, I can see myself wave my arms. Great.
Yeah, the tech check. All right, 555. Thank you, Jaskal. Hi, everybody. Welcome to us. Kicking off the new year and talk new year to me. Naturally, we're gonna be talking about the same nerdy stuff, you know, seeing you by night style. I myself, as always, am your perpetually disheveled host, Alex, and I am joined by my illustrious co-hosts. Let's start to, I guess, well, on my end, stage left, Gomi.
I'm Gomi of the Impossible Emporium. You can find me in all sorts of weird places. But yes, I'm here to talk tech and handing it over to Rem.
Yo, hey, I'm totally awake for this. We're in so many different time zones, guys. So this is my I totally have energy voice. it's kind of like my shouting. But no, it's good to see you guys. I'm here to talk tabletop board games. Gaming, RPGs, all kinds of... What am I here for? Gaming. That's what I'm here for. Oh, this is going great. Going to be a good episode, guys.
All right, New Year's went off with a bang.
Still drunk from the wine. It's...
Yeah, that good old New Year's spirit.
Let's talk nerdy table games.
Oh, my lord. Here we go. We are in it. All right. So, for those of us joining us for the first time ever, I am sorry. For those of you who have been here a few times, and also for
you should be used to it by now.
Yeah,
you should be used to it by now.
Yeah, you're used to this. But for both the young fans, young and old, new and seasoned, we get together at the start of every month and we talk about a bit of like covering the latest tech. Nerd media and tabletop news that has come down the global pipeline as we can scrounge it up. Sometimes there's so much happening, everything everywhere all at once style, we can't get it all, but we do our best being the nerdiest Cerberus talk show that we can find at this hour.
I love that. Love that I'm part of a Cerberus. Yeah, can we have a new overlay with dog body?
Or just get with the King Ghidorah, the angry head, the sus head, and the derpy head. Yeah.
Wait, who's who?
I'll go with derpy. Yeah,
I'll be angry.
All right. But reeling it in, professionals, consummate professionals.
Sorry.
No, we are all in it. Ghidorah Cerberus, yeah. Let's mix them together. That's just a really hairy dragon. Anyways, we'll start, as we always do, with tech. So,
yep.
Gomi, go ahead and kick us off.
Now, all before right. you do, though, oh, I just want you mm-hmm. to know it's a new year, new you.
Oh, sure.
It doesn't positive. Have to be all doom and gloom. It can be happy stuff. I right. know you have a lot of bad news, or as you in Australia call it, news. Yeah. But you can turn a new leaf.
I'll try and turn a whole tree. first up, this story starts from behind the Iron Curtain, some almost 40 years ago. It's one of the first era computer games to sort of breach the divide between that. I actually introduced it to a bunch of my students. I had to actually chase them off the bloody game 6 months later because, as simple as it is fundamentally addictive, and I'm talking about Tetris here. And you've played Tetris, you know, and it's kind of, you look at the game, you go, well, you know, you can't beat it. You just got to try and get as much as you possibly can in terms of score-wise. And so, I mean, the best I ever managed was maybe about level 18, playing on the Game Boy Advance way back in the day. but once it hits about level 29, the game is actually designed to be too fast to play so that you can't push the pieces all the way to the side to complete a complete row. Except in the last decade, people have found techniques by double tapping buttons and rolling their fingers across buttons to get the pieces to slot all the way to the edge. Hmm. So the world record has slowly been creeping and breaking. And, you know, they got up to like about when they first discovered this sort of stuff about a decade ago, it was like getting to level 35, 40. But in the last month, let's say, that world record has been broken 3 times.
Wow.
And the current holder, at least I hope it's the current holder as I'm talking about this, kid knows Blue Scooty, a 13-year-old, has managed to crack level 153 and he crashed the game.
Whoa!
So he's beaten Tetris. Yes. First person in the world to beat Tetris.
Yeah,
which,
I'm looking at the amazing. Yeah, like between like a day ago and 8 hours ago, the because I was like, I think I this popped across my feed earlier today that someone finally someone finally beat Tetris. I'm like that's, but you can't. And I,
Bravo. What they did is one guy created an AI to play Tetris as much as possible, and when he got to about level 200, it crashed. I go, oh, okay, something weird happened here. So somebody else reverse engineered the code to work out precisely when and how it would crash and under what conditions. So Blue Scooty missed the first crash point where you had to get a single line at level 151 or something and then managed to get it when a couple later. So it's absolutely astounding to that. And some of the levels, because the colours of the blocks actually get corrupted. There's one level they've named Charcoal, where all the pieces are neon black.
Ooh.
And another one where they are shades of purple. And I can post a link to somewhere, but if you just look up Blue Scooty beaten Tetris, you will find plenty of stuff on it. And this is an amazing way to open up the new year. Taking that a step further to your mental health, if you suffer a traumatic experience, there is research that sort of points in the direction of play a game within 24 hours, something predictable, easy, routine. It actually helps recovery. So, you know.
All my stupid-ass phone games that I waste time on are actually just helping my mental health?
Yes.
Cool. Excellent. I never want to hear bullshit about that again.
Also, in the range of IT stuff, the original source code for Zork, a text-based adventure game from the very early 80s, has appeared online. So it's just weird stuff popping up. Now, I am going to cover one or two pieces of AI news just to brace yourselves.
Let me get my dumbass
earplugs.
No,
the first one's actually good because basically robots or AI-based systems are researching all the possible ways you can combine chemicals and what you can produce. So it's now discovering a whole bunch of new materials that we could potentially then implement into new technologies. Now, in terms of cyberpunk, since we are here on Uncensored, this actually makes a great data set for a bunch of edge runners to grab, lift, and run away with in terms of, a MacGuffin for a game. They've also done the same thing, but they've limited this AI to chemicals available on Mars. And so just working with what is available on the surface of Mars, it's actually synthesizing stuff to work out what it could do. So there's something like 3.7 million molecules it could possibly build. And so it's gone through that whole list and produced viable combinations. Also, another great MacGuffin in terms of IT is that they are now getting, I suppose with computers, one of the big hassles you have is heating, right? It gets hot, right? Hotter it gets, more likely to melt, more likely to break, all that kind of stuff. The silicon chip stuff, they should last about a decade, but if you overclock and push the heat envelopes, you cut that time down dramatically. So there's a ship with 10,000 NVIDIA GPUs, worth a cool half a billion, and it's going to be dropped into the ocean to be water-cooled. Now, that's a huge payday for any team of netrunners or just edge runners in general.
Or shadow runners.
Yep. Because that cluster will be just sitting there. Now, yes, it might be old tech, given the timelines of the various games, but you can see sort of like that's kind of a cool thing that sort of popped out there. When I ran my Hong Kong campaign decades ago, basically one of the AIs took over an oil tanker and then started using auto factories to reconfigure the internals so it could actually take off into space. But that's a different story. I mean, the biggest problem we have with everybody talking about AI is we have this habit of mythologically describing it or even treating it like an anthropomorphic being, a creature. So, yeah, there's a great article in the New Yorker about, like, well, actually, no, it's not, and no, it isn't. It's just you give something a huge amount of data and hopefully it'll spit out the answers you want, but it's also a weird black box that you can't quite predict the guts of. And then, of course, I'm going to jump on to wonderful Public Domain Day. On the 1st of January, a whole bunch of stuff transitions into the public domain where people are allowed to use it without the huge risks of copyright. And this includes one classic, Steamboat Willie.
I've got stuff on that for later. It's so good.
Oh, yeah. But when Winnie the Pooh became available last year, I think it was, they released, some people online released a slasher horror flick called Winnie the Pooh Blood and Honey. Because nope, they don't can. Like that. Well, yeah. People have already released a trailer for a upcoming live action film called Mickey's Mousetrap, which is going to be a horror film, again, using the likeness of Mickey Mouse from Steamboat Willie. And that's the important caveat. Because the character design's been updated over the decades, it means that, yeah, that you can't use the current iteration of Mickey or the Disney logo or that sort of, because that's still owned, controlled.
I love that everyone's first act when this happens is like, how do we ruin our childhoods?
Oh, yeah.
Well, because it's like dipping our toes slightly into you know my talky stuff. I am talking about speaking out of it. I have the wrong overlay. hey, professional. Anyways,
we're doing great. We're starting January off right.
But anyways, no, it's the big thing as we saw with as you mentioned, Gomi, the blood and honey for Winnie the Pooh. As we're seeing with now Mickey's Mousetrap or the Mouseship, whatever it's called, it's because when it comes to like apples to oranges, horror movies can be cheap.
Oh yeah,
because
I mean the thing is, they released this like a day after it had fallen into public domain, so they were ready with it.
Oh yeah, no, they've been biding their time. There's also a horror game coming out
it seems to be like very like Five Nights at Freddy adjacent. Like it looks like Five Nights meets Slenderman in a way, very like survival horror. There's also was the Mouse, which is like a first person shooter, featuring, you know, like that kind of era of Disney characters and looks. But yeah, I think Blood and Honey, it cost them like $100,000 to make.
And God, that's almost as cheap as Evil Dead.
Yeah,
Sam Raimi's first film.
And because it was just a viral idea that it made like 5 minutes in the box office. The movies is absolute microwave dog shit. But they made off like bandits. And I expect nothing less from this Mousetrap movie, to wherein, like, that's definitely not one of those where I would ever watch with my own volition, for one. Two, if it was like, come on, we'll go and watch it, it's like, then there better be a lot of things that can dull the edge.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, drinks on tap or something fun in the air, because... I love going in like Yomasi Sarah's Theater 3000 on a film as much as the next guy, but sometimes this is a movie that's so bad you just sit in there wishing for the time back.
yes.
But
Black Sheep.
Oh god, the Black Sheep. Was it that?
That's my chosen movie my life back.
Rebel Moon.
I want to name Brain Dead, but it's actually a reasonably good movie for a El Cheapo horror flick, but it's also Peter Jackson's one of his first.
Oh wow!
And then, of course, if you want extreme childhood destruction, you could always go with Meet the Feebles. You don't know it? Oh dear! How could you possibly describe Meet the Feebles? It's like The Muppet Show, kind of on acid, but it's in a seedy theatre company. Yes. I'll leave that in everybody else's basket to deal with because, yeah, that's a you problem. But it's moving right along.
I see you go, here, Timmy, what's this? The knife, go run around with it. Yeah.
Basically, one of the things that popped up in the last month as well is around the idea of digital ownership. So the stuff that you supposedly purchase online, being movie subscriptions, all that sort of stuff, they can be revoked at any point, and it's usually hidden somewhere in the end user license agreement or the terms and conditions of such things. Sony tried to pull this with terms of the PlayStation and all the Discovery titles that were on that setup, and they were just going to remove them, and you'd lost them. Now, because of community backlash, they're no longer doing that. So, you know, and this ties into one idea I like, which is rebellion. How do we chart the rebellions online? And this is one example where a large vocal group of people have actually been able to retain some of their rights. So then, of course, in a great example of a company shooting itself in its own foot is The Escapist.
Oh, we have two companies doing that to this episode. Hooray! Proceed.
Basically, they decided to sack one of their video managers who manages part of the video stuff, including zero punctuation reviews. Mm-hmm. Do you know zero punctuation? I hope so. If you don't, go look them up. No hold barred gaming review, really short, fast talking speed, and really harsh.
Mm-hmm.
His firm, one of the positive reviews he gave. Oh, gotcha. Yeah, definitely. One of his reviews that got me to go out and buy Portal.
Oh.
Because it was actually, you know, he described the game as it was, no hold bars, basically. so that entire company, the entire video crew that worked under this particular manager and others as well, I suspect, basically pulled up stakes and left.
Wow.
On the day he was sacked. They've now formed another company called Second Wind. And it's basically owner, I want to say occupy, but no, owner, employee owner based. So they're controlling all that sort of stuff. And they already got something like 30,000 subscribers to their Patreon when they hadn't even put anything up. This is how popular the stuff they're producing is. So, yeah. So if you get hold of Second Wind and the stuff they do, fully Ramblematic and the Cold Take, there's also a designer delve into game design. So this is all the IT side of the world. And so, yeah, it's good to see that kind of stuff happening and that corporations can't make impressively stupid choices. And I know you've got something about that later on, Alex. So
I don't have that. That's in Rem's court. That's in Rem's court. I was here along for the ride, just going, yummy meal, and just
but yeah, basically in terms of institutions online that I actually think are worth probably supporting, the Internet Archive has back catalogs of old magazines that you can't get hold of otherwise. It has a huge amount of radio shows from the 40s and 50s. This is kind of media you can't even get hold of. They have a groovy thing called the Wayback Machine, which allows you to have a look at what a website looked like rolling back the clock. So you can see the evolution of Google over the course of its life. Of course, there's also Wikipedia. And another one, if you're into the tech repair and the breaking down of technology, there's one called iFixit. And this is basically gives you manuals on how to repair or maintain pieces of tech you've got. They do phone breakdowns, all sorts of different bits and pieces, which kind of links into another area which I was interested in, which is the right to repair. So, you know, John Deere tractors?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They're basically, we're refusing to let farmers access any manuals or information on how to repair the systems. You had to always take it in. And so over the course from the start of last year, they now have to provide manuals and all sorts of other information so people can actually do this. Because there's been a bit of a kick up online about repairing and maintaining stuff. So one of the examples is that for a train system, the trains that are operating somewhere in Scandinavia, when they got pulled off and parked in a siding for a month, that happened to be a maintenance company's thing, and they may well have been maintained, I don't know the full details. The software updates didn't kind of work well, and some parts of the system got locked down, so they couldn't actually use it. So this then sort of, you know, creates problems, because do you want to be locked out of the use of your own technology, stuff that you've purchased good money with the impression that it is yours to keep and use? This is just, again, on a slightly larger scale, but it's the same idea. So if you want, I can go through the Humble Bundles and the stuff. I think there's a Paizo Pathfinder 2 Humble Bundle that's due to close in a few hours, if you haven't seen that yet. And then, of course, there's Cinematic RPGs, which by Evil Genius Games. And from the look of what I've seen of them, they actually look really nice and fun to play.
I really like Evil Genius. They're pretty darn new to the industry, and you wouldn't know it. The way they behave like a big company, they're everywhere and they're on top of it.
Mm. But if you want any of their stuff, there's a whole package of that up on Humble Bundle at the moment, which then just leaves four pieces from the bundle of holding, where if you're into Numenera as a game, there's the Discovery and the Horizons packs, two separate packs to sort of get you started. Mongoose has got Traveller and its Mongoose Mercenaries pack, which again, Traveller sci-fi stuff. Then there's a trophy bundle from Gauntlet Publishing, who I don't know, but it's all focused around psychological horror and tragic ends. And then there's a Middlelands bundle, which just popped up. I missed one. Basically high-quality maps and all that sort of stuff for a in-depth fantasy world called the Middlelands. And finally, of course, there's Dying Earth, which is from the pen of Jack Vance and a whole bunch of things. And this is the fourth time this particular bundle's come up. But that's pretty much it from me.
I think a Humble Bundle.
Other stuff, but there was this.
Yeah, the Humble Bundle with a bunch of tabletop stuff is as good as a segue as we're going to get going over into tabletop news.
Hey, what's my overlay look like? I want to see.
Yeah, now that I remember what my
freaking your job is. I was helping you out there.
Thanks.
I'm jealous. Mine's green. I wanted the blue and pink and purple. tabletop. I have a couple things for you. So December, I can't even remember, guys, when the last time we met was, because time is...
I think it was
November. Wibbly wobbly.
I think it was November.
Was it?
Yeah, probably was November.
Yeah.
So PAX Unplugged was kind of the big con of December. It seemed more crowded from what I was hearing, that attendance was up, which is great for them. But, you know, it kind of is, to me, signals the end of con season, because, like, that's when the holidays are kicking up and stuff like that. And I had planned on saying, like, oh, well, you know, it's con season is over. But the more I am in this industry, I don't know if I was just oblivious to it before or a lot of these are new, but it seems like con season is never over anymore. Like, I know, like, I think MegaCon or something is coming up. LVO and Las Vegas Open is at the end of January. Wild to me that like, even in the winter months, U.S. Conventions are just nonstop.
The convention season is, you know, is like the Volspouse, you know, the poetic Edda, right? Just goes in a circle. It's a never-ending cycle of things.
And it seems like there's so many now that you start to have to choose which ones to go to because they're the same weekends. So it's starting to get like, last year, GameCon Canada in Edmonton, and Origins Game Fair in Columbus, Ohio, were at the same exact time. Mm-hmm. There were a few of those. Oh, gosh, in the summer, it was PAX West and Dragon Con and Nova Con. And I feel like there was something else, too. But, like, that's a lot. And for people who have, you know, their schedule set, like, I've gone to Origins for years. And now that, you know, I'm working for a gaming company, it's like, all right, how do I make these choices? And where is the attention needed and stuff like that? So it's interesting that how my con season is over. But I don't know that everyone feels the same. So, yeah, that's conventions. I'm not planning on going to anything again until March is what kicks off for me. Gamma is at the beginning of the month. Of March. If you've never been, you have to be a Gamma member to go, but if you're in the gaming industry, whether as a retailer, a publisher, media, technically this counts as media, you could get a badge to go to Gamma. And it is huge for industry networking. Even those that don't have a booth or whatever, they just go to schmooze, and there is a lot of business to be had at Gamma. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people to meet, and a lot of my first Gamma was last year. And the amount of people I saw again and again at the rest of the conventions for the year, you know, you really get a chance to start some new relationships. And Gamma is a really good place to do it. And then it is later in March is Adepticon. Speaking of same weekends, I think actually it's the same weekend. GaryCon and Adepticon are the same time, and they're very close. Schaumburg, Illinois, which is outside of Chicago, and and Lake Geneva, Wisconsin, which are an hour and a half apart. So, you know, you've got Adepticon, which is going to be for your minis gamers, and GaryCon is going to be more for your D&D types. But if you like both, screw you. Pick one. Like, too bad.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy and sadness and anger, definitely some disgust,
Rose,
and I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
Yeah, God forbid you're like a long service 40K fan. But I want to go for the 40K, but I also want to go and look at the Imperium Maledictum booth. Like, no, too bad, kid. It's pick one. It's terrible.
Yeah. So on the bright side, though, if you do have to choose, I recommend doing Adepticon for that one. And then in October is Gamehole Con, which I think I talked about last time we were on. It's my new favorite con, and that's in Madison, Wisconsin. So if you're kind of local and don't know which one to pick, it Gamehole feels a lot like Gary Con, but it's all RPGs instead of just D&D. Not that Gary Con is just D&D, but it's mostly D&D.
D&D and OSR stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when we were talking about it earlier, you said it was more of that smaller scale thing that felt like Gary Con did years ago.
Yeah, both are still very small, GaryCon and Gamehole, but it's a lot of industry people, and like, gosh, I was walking through and ran into Matt Lillard and like all of these big names in the industry, and it's really, I think, their con to play. You can do special guest, like VIP game sessions for $10 and play with some of these people that you only see, you know, that write articles or do live streams or design games, and you see the names but never get to play in the special events because they're so expensive at regular cons. Gamehole is designed, it's like by fans for fans.
Nice.
And so it's a really great, it's a really great con. I love it. Yeah, that's conventions. The next one is the moment you've been waiting for, Max. It's Hasbro. They're at it again. Like, boy. So guys, we made a nice little comparison in the pre-show talking about this, where it's like WotC and Hasbro. It's like they're how many times do you shit the bed before it's like overflowing on the floor and in like smeared on the walls and like in your Cheerios somehow, like it's everywhere. So Hasbro did a round of layoffs. They laid off about 1,100 people, and you'd think for as well and as much growth as we've seen with D&D, I remember when I saw the news about Hasbro, I'm like, oh, I don't know if they'll touch WotC though. And oh yes, they did. They cleaned house.
Jaskal so said shit all the way down. Like, there you go. That's why it's called trickle down economics.
Yeah.
Oh no.
Oh, it's got some Max Payne 3 monologue going. Oh man.
It's gonna be interesting at this point to see. You know, someone recently wrote a blog that I read about how the death of WotC, like the slow death of WotC, is going to kill the industry. And there's so many people that disagree with that, where it's like, yeah, but it gives so much space to rise. You know, like WotC has gotten the new gamers in. Critical Role has gotten people into D&D. Like,
yes.
That's... It's like Settlers of Catan. It's the gateway drug for board games. D&D is the gateway drug to RPGs.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think it gives creators and other publishers a hell of an opportunity to expand.
It definitely gives scope. No, sorry.
I think we're probably going to say around the same thing, like that nature abhors a vacuum. You know, there's always going to be a... like a, you know, an apex predator in the food chain. If you're looking at like the percentages of, you know, of what like Roll 20 tables are, for example, because that's the very easy metric to cover because it's all there. It's, you know,
in the 90-somethingth percentile, it's, you know, it's D&D, followed quickly by Pathfinder and Call of Cthulhu. Now, granted, naturally, one of those two is going to rise to the top. Probably going to be Pathfinder because it is the most immediate, you know, understandable translation. But, like, the the gradual heat death of Hasbro and WotC in this space is, it's only going to give rise to, you know, to a lot of, like, smaller publishers that would fall into the 0.0 something percentile of, like, of play space, and they're gonna have their time to shine.
Yeah, and even, yes, I agree that Pathfinder is probably, like, the closest thematically, but 5e is pretty rules light for an RPG. And I think that's, you know, you have a lot of casual gamers that just want to be like the critical role players, right? Like, they want that experience that's more focused on story and characters than it is on rules. And that's going to be a turnoff from Pathfinder. Like, as much as Pathfinder's great, it's crunchier.
That's why I call it Mathfinder.
So I think, but I think also there's going to be new opportunities in board games that are focused on Dungeons and Dragons, because
Gloomhaven and Heroes Quest has been re-released for and there's all those sorts of games in that area that really act as a first step into that space. I mean, it's one of the reasons I introduced Talisman to my two kids, is to sort of get them used to that sort of idea of gaming.
Talisman, man, you're a tough dad. Kids sit down.
It's stealing what's available.
We're gonna play Uno, and then there's Talisman.
My family's always been gamers. Like, when I was growing up, we started with Euchre and I can't remember the name of it, but it's like 500, but simpler. And then grew into all these additional card games. So the transition for me into tabletop gaming, into role-playing, and into computer gaming was just guaranteed.
Yeah.
I mean, hell, my mum is still a World of Warcraft player.
Yeah.
So
that's amazing.
Yeah. It's a cool time, though. And I think that growth, one of the ones that I want to keep an eye on is, again, Evil Genius Games. They're Everyday Heroes. Their marketing for that is phenomenal. It's I can't remember if it is 5e or if it's similar to 5e, but it's a modern world. So, you know, you can have superpowers and so I really like their marketing for that. Like, I walked by at a trade show and saw, like, Everyday Heroes, and then saw their cutout of a girl in a wheelchair, and I'm like, I'm in. Like, I don't even care anymore. I'm in. So yeah, I'm really interested in seeing what happens there. Well, let's see here. So I have one chunky subject to talk about, but you know, you were talking about New Year, and the last time I was here, I couldn't announce it yet. But I think, you know, just as a little preview for y'all, because I'm tied with Catalyst, we had some big announcements that happened at PAX Unplugged. And since I didn't get to talk to you guys about it last time, we have our big ones that, or big one, there's two I can talk about that are pretty big. All right, so the first one, I feel so white saying this, Snoop Cereals is getting a board game. So we are working with Snoop Dogg and Master P at Catalyst and producing a board game. It'll be on Kickstarter. Oh my. And then the other one I'm very, very excited about that I can talk about is we have the license for a Voltron RPG board game and minis game. So that is coming. I think it's either the RPG, I think it's the RPG that's happening this year, and then next year is going to be the minis game and the board game. We have two other licenses that haven't been announced. Well, three other licenses, actually, that haven't been announced yet. But I'm so excited. So as soon as I can, I'll share that with you. Cool. But I think I'm going to save my hot button topic, because it's going to be a long conversation. So I might save that for a time we have more than 15 minutes, yes. So that I can hand it over to my friend Max here.
Yeah, I don't have things that nearly as spicy or no, that's the wrong thing. There we go. Yay, I'm a professional. Yeah, so none of my topics are like that grandiose, man. Like, yeah, fucking Hasbro going full, you know, Ebenezer Scrooge. And yeah, the tech revolutions. We talked about like the majority of my half of my talking points with the Steamboat Willie thing, and how, you know, we've got a deluge of games, films, and assorted other media coming out of the woodwork. I don't know.
Should
creepy crawlies?
Should we do the hot button topic then?
There's a couple other things I do want to touch on. Going into this weekend. Just because I know that I've got a great many friends who are into Final Fantasy 14 and have, you know, they've dipped my nose into it, especially recently. But there's they're doing their, I believe it's the Final Fantasy like fan expo is happening this weekend. They're going to be exposing the new class that's coming out in the next expansion. So for those of you that are into that and that enjoy it, there's going to be a new mage, or as I call them, a new waggle finger, because I play marshals no matter the game.
I play mages no matter the game, and I am offended, sir.
Yeah, honestly. Good. Gummy was talking about the company called Second Wind. Like, as someone, whenever they're not the GM, they're the fighter. I always rely on Second Wind.
Yeah.
But yeah. So there's Well, the thing is, later this year, WoW also is going to be kicking off the new pipeline of expansion, the war within. They're going inside the planet now. That game is so far off the rails from when I started with Warcraft 3, as, you know, the more gray starts coming in. And, like, you know, played through, original through Cataclysm in high school. It has changed a lot. Some good, some bad. They're bringing back trees, which I always enjoyed. I like being a tank that doesn't require a shield. The Game Awards happened. Since we last converged. No surprise to anyone with enough change and brain sense, brain cells to roll together, that Baldur's Gate came away with the primary share of awards, because the game is extremely well made. That goes in, hopefully, just how, you know, as we're seeing with the big companies with pushback from fan bases, we'll be seeing that in the video game spectrum too. So we're not, there's less of the pay for play life service nonsense. Because games can be good, as they should be for their asking price. And I talked about, fourteen. It's the games that Final Fantasy 14 is 10 years old, and it still has the occasional beta phase issue. And it's, come on, guys. But one that I recently picked up. But this, when I was sick as a dog over the majority of December, was Ready or Not. That went to its full release. For those of you that don't know, Ready or Not is the spiritual successor to SWAT 4. So a hyper realistic, like SWAT police shooter. definitely not a game I'd play with random people. Though I've tried it. It's fun and very dumb. The game is extremely difficult. So if you're prone to high blood pressure, table flipping, or screen punching, don't. no, but there's a it's a game surrounded by controversy. All through its development, because and now culminating, it has some particularly spicy topics that you would find, you know, stateside. Like they have a very violent club, club level following certain you know, hot topic news events that happened here, as well as a college level. It's not definitely not for everyone, but but that's, you know, the developer had they had some cojones to roll that out. But the even with all that subject material, the game is it tackles them pretty respectfully, which is that is a razor thin line to walk, and they did a decent job. Mm-hmm. However, buyer beware, the AI is bugged. So if you ever want to play a game where the current state of play, you are a NPC in a John Wick film, and all the bad guys you fight are John Wicks, then boy do I have the video game for you.
Oh no!
It is hair tuggingly aggravating. When a guy just, you know, fucking plinks you in the head like through three walls, and it's like, but you know, it's part of the struggle.
that's the point where I actually gave up doing first person shooters when, let's go with 14-year-olds could totally own me.
Thankfully though, like for the most part, granted, there's going to be outliers in any, you know, in any population. The random people I have played with have been decent enough. It is a cooperative only game, which helps. So you're not having, you know, little Timmy from Wisconsin, speed bagging you because he used the name bot or something. But you will have the occasional guy who insists that, you know, they're a keyboard commando. They insist they know best. They kick open a door and then everyone explodes because the door was trapped.
Leroy Jenkins.
Leroy Jenkins. We've all had that guy in an MMO or at a tabletop where there's like, it's fine, I'll handle it, I'm the tank, and then they get turned into a something resembling a bolognese.
Chunky salsa.
Yeah,
it's called red mist.
Yeah, red mist and chunky salsa. That takes me back to my Warhammer days. nothing like a heavy bolter in the morning. Man, but speaking of, that is one I've yet to pick up. I was hoping to get it in time to do a review for it, but Rogue Trader is on my wish list. It's just a matter of the holidays cost money.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, I didn't have enough. But yeah,
you threw shade earlier, so I'm still waiting for your review on Rebel Moon.
Oh, okay. So I'll cover that. So we're getting a little too late for your atomic question or atomic topic button.
Yeah, I'd be throwing a grenade and walking away.
Okay,
fire in the hole. Rebel Moon. Granted, I'm when I view things, I tend to be a surly cuss when I view most medium. I have been wounded. As Jessica brought up, you know, the Aragorn film. That came out when I was in high school, and I have forever been scarred. So there's a lot of movies.
Oh, Aragorn! Sorry, I thought you said the Aragorn film.
No, Aragorn.
I raised both my kids on good orcish violence, so
no,
you know.
Yeah, no, Aragorn. Yeah,
the dragon thing.
Good old Paolini. So Rebel Moon. So I guess without just wanting to sound like an absolute, I know I'm an absolute asshole, but not to be 100% a dick. because he Zack Snyder, you know, obviously this is the script he wanted to use for Star Wars, but then that was pulled from him, and he decided I'll make my own Star Wars with Blackjack and hookers, and then he did exactly what Bender did. You know, forget the blackjack, forget the hookers, forget the whole damn thing. But except he'd still released it. The best way I can put it in watching it, if you were, let's say, like, imagine for a moment that you are a teacher and like a storytelling class, a cinema class, and you do a viewing of The Seven Samurai. You know, you cover Kurosawa films in your class, and you ask your students to write a paper on it. And young, not bright eyed, because all of his films are based on spite, but gloomy, haggard eyed Zack Snyder, the goth junior, probably
the 7 year old that's seen some shit.
The 7 year old that has painted My Kim hair on all of his action figures and G.I. Joes. That he comes in and write, you know, his report misses everything about The Seven Samurai, about what this film is about. It's when you take like Rebel Moon, Snyder said that Seven Samurai was one of his big inspirations. You put that on one side, and then Magnificent Seven, just basically just Seven Samurai with the serial numbers filed off.
It's a ripoff,
but they are both knockoffs. But the Magnificent Seven is still enjoyable. It's not that Rebel Moon is a terrible film. It has some of like the straight to Netflix CGI issues, and there's a lot of it. There is the Snyder like fetishistic obsession with needless slow motion, which is just like the frame rate version of filibustering. But it's like, okay, you know. You show it to, let's show artistry, sure. You know, if it's like, if there's dramatic raindrops and then there's like little splashes of red, like, oh, there's blood in the rain. Ooh, ah, film noir. Like, sure. But if it's just like someone just like running in slow motion for far too long, it serves no purpose.
So would you say that if someone were to have a case of beer present and drink anytime slow-mo was happening?
Oh, don't I cannot legally endorse that because you will be going to the hospital.
Not end up in hospital?
Yeah, no, you will. No, I cannot in good conscience endorse that because you'll be fucking dead. Because it is Snyder left to his own devices. Snyder is like the dark reflection of Christopher Nolan. Christopher Nolan does like meh things when he's forced into a box, but then when you let him do his own shit, he does really, really good. Like the Nolan Batmans, they're the first one's really good, and they slowly like trend down after that. But then like Tenet was really decent. Oppenheimer was fucking amazing. But it's one of those things where Snyder. It seems like he wanted to prove that he was right about the Justice League. And he, like, you know, right out the gate, smacked his head on, like, on a low-hanging ceiling and just stumbled concussed the rest of the way through. Because the movie is, it looks fine. The acting is okay. But the thing, it's not that it's, like, amazing or that it's, it's not even in the so bad where it's enjoyable and fun. Rebel Moon is in that like beige liminal space, backrooms, color mediocrity where you just, it doesn't stick in even the short term memory. Nothing sticks out and you just want your time back. Like it might be one of those things, like if they release a part two and the part two is phenomenal, then I don't, maybe suffer through the part one so you know what the fuck is going on. But it's like,
It had this sense of, you know, you're a kid with a bunch of action figures with no collection together. So you've got like Paul Atreides fighting like, you know, like the Green Martians from Jack Carter, and they're just like, you're just smashing it together with no real semblance of what the fuck is going on.
So to bring our conversation full circle, then, yeah. Would you say that Rebel Moon shit the bed? Or shit and spread it on the walls and it's in your Cheerios bowl and everything else?
Rebel Moon, it was someone desperately pinching a loaf to make it to the 7-Eleven bathroom. it was doing the manic cold sweats waddle the entire time. It was trying.
I think we need a new title to today's episode.
Yeah. That's imagery I just don't need. Thank you.
Yeah. Craps and Corporations, the tabletop RPG coming to you in 2024. But yeah, this review of mine is entirely subjective. I am also, as I said, I am a callous bastard when it comes to consuming media, be it in any form. This, you know, I'm going to look at something, especially when it is a director that people have gone to bat for, bent the knee for, and, you know, done the Twitter lip service plenty enough for over whatever assorted releases, on his own personal project, his own merit. I am going to be unabashedly critical because, to bring it back around, I learned my method of critique, from Zero Punctuation, right? It's sometimes you gotta treat a game developer, a filmmaker, like a dog that peed on the rug. You just kind of grab them by the ear and stuff their nose in it so they understand what they did. Don't do that to your animals. gone to Batman for hey, oh, that's, oh. If I could, Jasko.
Jake. With that, we're gonna end the show because
we're gonna
I need to walk away from this.
We're gonna end the show next time you have your tabletop session. Tell your GM that I give you disadvantage in your first roll for the night.
Excellent.
Anyway, guys. Woot. I'm sweaty talking about all this crap. Anyway, this is...
You're getting all worked up.
Yeah. This has been Talk Nerdy to Me and Talk New Year to Me, our first inaugural episode of the new year. We are slowly rounding on our one-year anniversary since we started, I believe, if brain math checks out. But I'm blonde. I don't know numbers. So with that, I am your perpetually disheveled and currently sweaty host, Alex. I have been joined by Gomi. Let's go ahead and...
Gomi of the Impossible Emporium, and thank you for your time today. Right. And Rem?
Rem?
Me, I'm Rem Alternus. You can find me places. I'm going to let the text do the talking.
Yeah. You can find our socials down below. And if the bot has been doing its job in chat, you can find our socials and that as well. With that, everyone, thank you for joining us, and you have a good night. I'll be seeing you later.
Stagnation Uncensored.